Good evening. One last time, I guess. Turn your Bibles to Philippians. Well, that's one way to get out of the meeting. Just pinch that baby and you're out of here, man. Oh, Brother Ed's probably in Whataburger now. All right. Philippians chapter 3. You don't have to look in your Bibles. It's going to come up on the screen. No, not really. I just wanted to say that. Now that we're looking like a mega church now, you can just leave your Bibles at home, which everything's going to be up on the screen. No, we can't do that. Chapter 3. You know, tonight I want to talk about the blueprint of a successful life. You know, whenever you and I we want to do something. If a young person has an interest in something and he wants to find a trade, he wants to learn something, the best way to do it is to go and see how somebody who's mastered it has done it or is doing it, right? I mean, that's smart. And that's something that is very logical when you think about it, right? You think about, you know, if you want to be a welder, if you want to be a teacher, if you want to be, a doctor, whatever it is, you, it's very wise to go and speak to those people, right? I mean, wants to go in the medical field and wants to be a doctor, you actually talk to that doctor and say, you know, how long did you have to study? And once he tells you, you might not want to be a doctor anymore, right? I mean, you have to have a passion, right, for medicine. You got to have a passion for that field to make it. So when I think about the greatest missionary, I think that the gospel has produced is Paul. Paul has got to be, I mean, for somebody to show up, they're an act. He shows up to a city, he preaches 2 weeks, and he starts a church. Not only did he start a church, but they had to get him out of there because what he taught got people so upset that he had to run for his life. But yet that church was started. That church was founded. That church exploded. And then he had to send Timothy back. He had to send others back. Why? Because these churches had to be discipled. These churches had to be taught. But Paul did some incredible things. Paul did some incredible works. So for us as believers, for us as somebody who wants to have fruit, we want to see fruit, don't we? I want to see fruit in my life. I want this church. You know, I just when Matt said that, what if the whole church just leaves? And obviously, I don't think he was talking about leaving forever. You know, I'm just talking about just going out into San Antonio. Everybody, you know, tonight, everybody who heard that challenge, what if every one of us said, you know what? I'm going to do it. I'm going to win 10 people this year. I'm going to do my best to try to win more people. I'm going to go out. I'm going to print up stuff. I'm going to, you know, make some invitation. I'm going to make some business cards. I'm going to pass them out. I'm going to do whatever I need to do to get people saved, to get them into a good Bible-believing church. What if the church did that? Wow. That's just incredible to me. Incredible what God could do. But you know, we have, I think in Paul, a blueprint of somebody who was dedicated, who had one thing in mind. I mean, this man stayed single his whole life because he had one goal once he got saved. He was going to win people to Christ. He didn't want anything messing with that. To me, that's just incredible. I think it's a wise thing. You know, we can go to somebody, whatever trade they have, whatever work they do, whatever you're interested in, you go over there and you ask them their experiences, their hardships or failures, whatever it is, to get you a better idea of how to complete that task, or if you want to even go in that field. Well, you know, we got somebody in Paul. I think we have somebody here who the gospel has produced somebody that's incredible. He's when you read about him in the Bible, sometimes, you know, when I read about the stuff he did, he's bigger than life. But at the same time, he's just a man like you and I. He had the same spirit. He knew the same God. And he had the very exact same encounter you and I did. I mean, you and I, you know, granted, our road to Damascus, you know, might be a little different, you know, but we all met Christ sometime if we're saved. We all had that experience. We all had that conversation. We all had that moment where we surrendered, if you want to say that, where you gave your life to Christ. You know, I don't even know if that's even correct, but where he saved you. You look at Philippians 3, chapter 3. Now I'm just going to read a couple of verses. I think this is a blueprint of what you have to do, of what we have to do if we want to be successful. Wow, I have no idea why that happened. Oh my goodness. I had this crazy thing off. All right. It's somebody from the church. I hope it's not serious. Anyways, where was I? Okay, yeah. Philippians 3:13. Look what it says here. It says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Now there's three things I think here it's very simple. I think it's very obvious once you start looking at it. And if we want to be used of God, if we want to make the best of our abilities and offer that to God, we have to consider some things and things that you have to do, practical things in your life. And the very first thing that I see right here is you have to be focused on your life. You got to be. You got to concentrate on how you live and what you do as a believer. Look what he says there. He says in verse 13. He says, "I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." He doesn't say a lot of things. He doesn't say a dozen things. He doesn't say, you know what? I'm going to give you a 50 point checklist and you got to do all these things. He says this one thing I do. You know, that is something that you and I have to concentrate on in our life. We have to be focused on how we live. What kind of testimony are we given? Because let me tell you, people are drawn to that. If you are Christ-like, the more you are Christ-like, the more you live godly in this world. Look, it is a strange thing for you to be at your work or be in your family or be somewhere and you not live like they do, like the world. It's a very strange thing for you to speak about God. It's a very strange thing for you to give thanks to God in all things. It's a strange thing. But you know, we have to be focused on that. We have to have, be in that mindset of continually, making sure our life is lined with Christ. We have one master. The Bible says over there in Luke chapter 14 in verse 26, it says, if any man come to me and hate not his father, and mother, and wife, and children, and brethren, and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Concentration on your life is imperative for you to be effective, for you to be a good soul winner, for you to have influence on other people. And let me tell you, it is, before I got saved, before I even knew about this church, before I even had an interest in God, I knew one person here in San Antonio who was very different. She was a believer. She worked with me, at Sam's Club. And I was drawn to her. She was a very good friend. And I was drawn to her because she was so different. Never cussed. I never heard anything bad from her. Always spoke in a very different way. Man, that is something that drew me. I would like what she has. I would like to, I never expressed that to her, but I knew there was something there. I knew there was something. And she met here. This is the place where I came. This is the place where I heard the gospel. This is the place where I got saved. The very first thing that we have to understand, we have to be focused on our life. This one thing. And I know this one thing, it's a huge thing. But it's the one thing that you got to be doing. If you are a believer, if you want to consecrate your life to God, you have to pay attention to what comes out of your mouth. You have to pay attention of what you put into your heart. You have to pay attention of what you look at. You have to pay attention of the things that obstruct you, that are hindering you from getting that message and for having people to believe that message. I believe that's what Paul was saying right here when he says, I count not myself have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Another thing I looked at, the second thing, many people struggle to serve God because they haven't learned this one thing. And the second thing is, we got to forget some things. We have to forget. I mean, just think about Paul. Just think about the things that he did as an unbeliever. There was no way that he could continue and do as much as he did if he just kept thinking about all the wrong he did. You know, we got to forget our mistakes. And that's something I know that many people, they think they can't do a great work for God because they've dropped the ball. They've made mistakes. But you know what? We're all human. We all make mistakes, right? Now, there's some mistakes that might take you out of the race for good. So we definitely have to watch out. But we all make mistakes. You have to learn how to forget some things. And that can be a real challenge, but you got to do it. You got to forget also your losses. There's some things that we lose. There's some things that happen to us. There's some things that we can never get back. But if you dwell on that, you're not going to be able to go forward. Another thing I thought of about losing things, you have to forget about life's injuries. You know, people let you down. You know, I think about that horrible or that terrible verse in the Bible where Paul is ending his epistle and he talks about Demas. He has forsaken me. He loved this present world. And then that's it. He didn't say anything else. He didn't gossip. He didn't tell us, oh man, nothing. He just said, man, he has forsaken me. You gotta forget about some things. I'm not talking about forget about the people. You know, that hurts when people just drop out. You gotta continue to pray for them. You gotta give them a call. You gotta get them in here. You gotta reach out to them. That's something that we have to do. But you can't dwell on it. People are going to hurt you. Another thing I thought about, we're going to have heartaches. There's some people who are going to break your heart. And not only people in the church, people out. People you're trying to win. People you're trying to make them understand that this road, the gospel, is something worth taking advantage of. And they're going to break your heart. You know, Paul says over there in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, interesting verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Says verse, 2 Corinthians 4, verse 16. He says, for which cause we faint not. But though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. He says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, and the things which are not seen are eternal. I want you to look at two things with me about that. Two things about those verses there. First of all, he says, our light affliction. This makes me laugh every time I read this. Because my light affliction, the starter goes out. Right? My light affliction, you get a flat tire. Right? My light affliction, whatever. But Paul saying, oh, our light affliction, just for a moment. You want to hear some things about his life? Let's look at him. There in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look what it says. Look what it says there in verse 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always, always, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. Look what it says over there in chapter 11. In chapter 11, verse 23. It says, are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors more abundant. In stripes about measure. In prisons more frequent. In death oft. Of the Jews 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Does that sound like a light affliction? It says, once I was stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness, in painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger, in thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. That's the light affliction Those are the injuries that he was a participant in. That's just incredible to me. The second part of that verse, if you want to go back with me, 2 Corinthians, the second part I want to look at in chapter 4, it says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Worketh for us. All that light stuff that I just read to you works for us. I started thinking about how does that work for us? How do these injuries, how do these problems you have in your life, how can they work for us? Well, you know what? When we have those afflictions in our life, and I know nothing compared to what Paul went through, but those afflictions, you know what they do for us? They help us disconnect ourselves a little bit from the world. Amen. And we need to be disconnected. Man, and look, I don't pray like, oh, send us nakedness or send us all these perils or send us. I don't pray that way about you guys. I definitely don't pray that about me. But let me tell you, when you and I suffer things, when you and I have injuries in our lives, when you and I suffer things in this world, it helps us, I think, it helps us just a little bit to disconnect ourselves and remember, this isn't our home. I think it also purifies us a little bit with each injury. It purifies our heart. I think it compels us also to trust more in God. Doesn't it? Could you imagine 3 times shipwrecked, floating? Look, man, I've been, you know, I don't own a boat. I own a kayak. I haven't used it in a long time. But I own a kayak. It's right there at my mom's house in the garage, and we pull it out. I've been on that thing. And I've been in the bay, I'm sure I look really funny out there, but I'm out there and I've seen sharks. I mean, little bitty ones, but still they're sharks and they got teeth. You know, I know they bite, but could you imagine being out in the ocean, shipwrecked, out floating around for I don't know how many days? Man, your trust is in God. I mean, you gotta be trusting in that. When you have to be let down in a basket over the wall because people are in the Bible, they even took a vow not to eat, not to do anything until they killed Paul. Could you imagine that? I mean, hearing that, you know, hearing the people are gonna come after you and they want to kill you, man, it makes you trust more and more in God. God, if you can't help me, no one can. Another thing I thought about, it helps us think on the things above. When you have problems, when you have trials in this world, when you have things that are not going quite the way you want it to go, talking about injuries, you think a little bit more on the things above. It's not always going to be that way. We're not always going to have tears. We're not always going to have heartaches. We're not always going to have losses. People aren't always going to hurt us. One day, man, one day, we're going to be with Christ. In that place where none of these things will take place. It also helps us, I think, to think about the rewards. You know, could you imagine Paul out there in these light afflictions? These light afflictions. And you know, maybe, I mean, he's a man just like I am. You know, you're thinking, man, all this time working, all this time doing this, all this time starting these churches, man, is it really worth it? And you're thinking, oh yeah, my work's not in vain. Yeah, yeah, God's going to reward me. You know, look, I don't think it's a bad thing to start investigating what God has promised you when you serve him. I don't think it's a bad idea. You know, it's like David. David, when he went up and that giant was there, And they said, oh man, you know, the king's going to do this and that, riches, and give him his daughter and all this. And David went over there. And what did he say? What's the king going to give us? What are we going to get if we kill this giant? Look, I think David would have anyways, but he was curious. He just said, you know what? That just might be, you know, maybe help me have a little bit more, you know, pep in my step. If I'm thinking I'm going to get something when I do this, when I accomplish this work, when I finish this work. I don't think he had a doubt what he was going to do. But you know, we see somebody here like Paul, this light affliction, this things that he suffered. And I think it also worketh for us as well. Another thing I think we need to forget is our sins. Psalms 103:12 says, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. 1 John 1:7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. We need to concentrate on that one thing, and that's our life. How can we sanctify our life more? I don't think any one of us have gotten to the point where we say, man, I have arrived. I am just real shiny right now. There's nothing wrong with me. I've already done everything. No, you have to keep purging yourself. You have to make sure that you are a tool that can be used for the Lord. And you need to forget some things. We need to put some things aside. You know what? We need to forget also about success. You know, we've had success in this place. You know, we've had things that we've done, things we could probably, you know, quote unquote, you know, brag about. But let me tell you, we need to be real careful about that. Success. There was a guy over there in Second Chronicles. You read the story. 26, chapter 26, is a king, Uzziah. God blessed him. God gave him so much. He prospered. He just prospered and prospered. He did so many things. And then it got to the point where he was so lifted up. He thought he was so good that he could go in the temple and do the work of the priest. And God got upset with him. Look, don't think because you've done so much, because God has brought us so far that we think, man, we could do whatever we want. You cannot. You have a leader. You have somebody that we're following. You got to keep following his commands, and don't lean on your own understanding. The last thing I thought of about this blueprint, not only concentrate, focus on your life, forget some things in your life. But the last thing I thought about, Paul had a foresight. He was looking ahead. Anticipation. What is your aim in life? What's the end? Is it all just for this life? Look, you and I have to be citizens of both worlds. We have to, right? I mean, I haven't tried it, but I guarantee you, if I go to Little Caesars, they're not going to let me take a pizza just because I smile. They want money, right? They want something in return for what they're giving me. You and I have to be citizens of both worlds. We can't just live for this world. That's wrong. We have to live. You have to make a living. And I think you have to be the best at whatever you do. But at the same time, I think you need to live for God as well. Amen. You have to be a citizen of heaven. You have to learn how to live for God, and at the same time balance the life here in this world, because we can't just sell everything and put on white robes and march up a mountain. No. You gotta learn how to live here. But you know, Paul, what he says there, I press toward the mark. I'm going to give you some hypotheticals, and I'll just leave it with this. As a man, someone lives just for this life, and when he dies, he loses everything, and he goes to hell. There's another man. He makes a profession of faith. He just gives a little bit to God. Just enough. Just a little bit. He ends his life with regret. You are going to have regret. You will have regret. If God doesn't just snuff your life out just like that, in your sleep, if you are on your deathbed, if you have time to think about the wasted years, if you have time to think about what you could have done, it is gonna kill you. Or you have a third guy who gives his life to Christ, lives for God, puts God as his guide in everything. Does his best job that he can do, does everything that he can do, gives glory to God for everything he does. And when that man dies, I've heard it. I've heard this from people. When someone like that dies, who has served Christ, who's given their life to Christ, who've done everything they possibly can in their power to give glory to God, I've heard people say of people like that, if there was ever a Christian, that man was a Christian. That person loved God. That person, which man do you want to be? I think we need to put our focus on being the best Christian we can possibly be. Concentrate on that. Focus on that. And while we're doing that, you need to forget some things. And lastly, you need to keep pressing for that mark. The greatest person, I think, in history, if we're talking about a soul winner, Paul, I think he left us his blueprint, and we can follow it. It's not hard, but it's something that you have to actually do. You can't be a jack of all trades in this world. Something is going to have to give. Something is going to have to take a back seat, and it should not be Christ. Amen.
Thank you, John. Let's stand and end this meeting with number 95. I'll go where you want me to go.